Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Boys and girls,
welcome back. I never get tired of the sound of that steel guitar. You know what I mean? I got that off a YouTube short somewhere. I wanted something that didn't trigger the copyright. But, you know, if this show ever blows up, I'm going to make sure and credit the old cat that was ripping the steel guitar over on YouTube shorts. You know what I mean? It's been a hell of a week, man. Finding some new ways to grow my business here in Phoenix. We got a little investment advisory practice that we're trying to sprout up out of the ground here. You know what I'm saying? And finding different ways to solve problems is cool, man. The main problem we're facing is getting people to know about us. It's like, I know the firm is good. I know that I'm pretty good at my job. And so the challenge is just finding the right folks. And so made a good development in that direction. It's like all of a sudden for the past 6 months, you know, Dupe's been making 50 to 100 calls a day, maybe talking to, you know, two or three people. Cold calling is what I'm good at. And, you know, you call, you sweat and you down and, you know, you almost want to get a pound of that white girl and dig into that thing. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of go-go juice is what you need to wake up and make damn 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 calls. And we were getting some corporate dials calling corporate folks, you know what I mean? And it just wasn't, we get a couple clients here and there, but it just wasn't, it was too much hard work for not enough like return on investment, you know what I'm saying? And so I made a pivot. I started oh my God, just threw a fresh Zen in. I'm looking to, man, I want to pivot away from Zen. I heard some bad things about like what's in them, the people managing it. Apparently it's owned by Philip Morris, which is a big tobacco company. So you know that they're probably putting nasty stuff in there because all these big companies hate the masses. But I digress. That's what made me cough just then. And my boy, look. I've been sipping on this glass bottle the last couple of days. My buddy Dylan, who's a young, up-and-coming Viking warrior, started a water company. And his whole thing is about microplastics. And so he goes up to Sedona every week and fills up a ton of big glass jugs and delivers them to folks in our community at Red Hawk and beyond. And I think it's really cool, man. Obviously, you want to support a buddy. But I've been walking around with that thing, and I think some folks think I'm drinking alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of walking around, having a party of one, just slugging down some potato vodka. You know what I mean? But it's not. It's water with creatine in it. And I feel like a lot of folks that have asked me, hey, what's in that bottle? They kind of get a little disappointed when your boy says, no, it's just water. I can't party like that no more. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, I mean, business is going, it's going better because we're finding, I'm finding more streamlined ways to find people that, that I connect with and connect with at a higher rate because it's more blue collar folks. You know what I'm saying? I'm in a white collar damn profession, but I it's easier for me to talk to people that work with their hands. You know what I mean? Sometimes your boy just wants to move to a ranch and start farming tobacco or working with cattle. You know what I'm saying? I've always wanted, I was talking to my brother about this. There was a guy, so we were at dinner, me and Alexandra were at dinner the other night, and we've gotten to know this couple, and the dude is a chef, and he was telling me about how he knew another chef that raises his own chickens, and he grinds up like red bell pepper, and he'll feed it to the chickens. And not only do like the yolks, they get a red hue, but the eggs taste like bell pepper. It just blew my mind. I was like, could you hypothetically feed those chickens like any given type of like vegetable and the eggs will taste like it? He said, yeah. You want your eggs to be a little bit more oniony? Dry out some onions, grind them up, feed them to the chickens. I want to raise chickens one day. I know some people that do it, and it just seems really cool, you know? Got to watch out for them damn coyotes. My damn dog, Jasper, will probably try to get at them too, you know what I'm saying? But no, man, that's kind of what's been going on. I was thinking, man, like today on this episode, we're going to show everything that we're showing up here behind me. We'll see how that goes. I just thought, hey, let's do a deep dive through my Twitter or my X bookmarks. You know what I mean? Because it'll basically help us effectively recap the major moments in the week in the NFL. And then some other stuff. I don't know if I should throw this up here, but I saw a damn, somebody took the beat from the song Potato Salad, you know, that song by Tyler, the Creator, and A$AP Rocky. And they put the cipher from Otis by Kanye West and Jay-Z, and it's perfectly on beat. I really want to show it. I don't know if I'd get in trouble for copyright on that. Might get in trouble, so we'll probably err away from it. But and then somebody responded on X, and they were like, dude, put Potato Salad lyrics on the Otis instrumental. And that one was fire. The guy put, you know, it was on X. He put the music video. And so the rap is obviously still in sync with the music video. And he just switched the beat, switched the instrumental. It's masterful. I don't understand how. I understand it, having the ear for something like that, but being able to say, huh, Potato Salad, Otis, and then making that connection and going in there and actually like executing the song to make it coherent is really interesting to me. Music's cool, man. It's really cool. Copyright's obviously a thing. I wish we could dive into it more on the show, but obviously in order to dive into music, you got to listen to music. You got to listen to it sometimes, you know, Hurston music. You know what I mean? I said it, dude, I said Houston that way the other day. Somebody brought up Houston, Texas, and I said something about, you know, going down to Hurston, and it caught him off guard. It was like, what did you just say? I said Hurston. I want to get somebody from Memphis on the show. That type of thing. I mean, get somebody on here with a real gnarl, you know what I mean? A real southern. I listen to this kind of music. I've been real obsessed with that Memphis accent lately. Dude, I don't normally dig the female rappers, but Glorilla is like that. 7 p.m. Friday, 95 degrees. I ain't got no, and no, ain't got me. I normally hate the girl boss rap. I mean, it's not really girl boss rap, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Just kind of like the, you know, Kamala vibes type shit. And I think Kamala paid old Glorilla a little bit for an endorsement. I could be wrong. I saw a list, man. Got a lot of shit to talk about. We're getting somewhere with this show. I'm kind of just exchanging pleasantries, you know what I mean? Shooting the shit a little bit. But I saw a list of, I just scratched my ear right in that mic. Sorry, y'all. I saw a list of the amount of money that Kamala Harris paid these different celebrities to endorse her. $10 million to Beyonce Knowles. $10 million. Beyonce Carter. I don't know. She probably kept her last name knowing that bitch. You know what I'm saying? $10 million to Beyonce. $5 million to Megan Thee Stallion. Like $3 million, $3.5 million to Lizzo, fat ass. You know what I'm saying? Who the hell is listening to her opinion on it? Probably some people, which is concerning. And then she paid Eminem $1.8 million. And my question to Kamala Harris, not to mention that she raised $1 billion and managed to be $20 million in debt after the campaign. Hate to be her right now. But you're going to tell me that the greatest rapper of all time is lowest on your list? I'm kind of joking, but here's the thing about Eminem for me. Eminem fit an incredibly formative time in Dupe's life. What I mean by that is the first explicit rap song that I ever downloaded on iTunes, back when you had to buy music for 99 cents a pop. The first explicit song I bought was in fifth grade. I was 10 years old. My parents didn't really monitor what I was buying on there. I would just kind of, 99 cents here, 99 cents there, card on file. Shh, you know what I mean? The first explicit song, I always bought them clean when I was like 9 to 10, 11 years old, started getting into music. 11 years old, I'm in fifth grade. I remember buying Till I Collapse with the E next to it, the explicit. And I remember just, dude, you can't tell me that you could ever match the rush of being a fifth grader in 2007, 2008, buying that first explicit song on iTunes. Remember, I had a fifth grade basketball game that I was rolling up to that evening. It was a Saturday, I believe. And I was like, oh, damn. I need something to get pumped up for the game. Pick up Till I Collapse. With the explicit. And every F-bomb that dropped in that first time I played it, your boy got a renewed sense of confidence. Probably went out there and dropped like 4 points. When I was in fifth grade, man, I always tried to shoot threes. I wanted that. I still had that little kid brain wanting that instant gratification. You know what I mean? Always shot threes. I remember my coach would tell me, man, like, because I airballed a lot of them. Hit the right, left side of the backboard on a lot of them. And the reason I was so trigger happy as a fifth grader in basketball was that the first three I shot, I hit it. And it was like, dude, you talk about euphoria, dude. First three I shot, I hit it. And it was almost like beginner's luck. You know how much of a curse it is. This happened to me when I started sports betting too, where I hit a three game. I was in high school, I think, maybe college. I threw out a three-leg parlay. Remember there was a baseball game in there. The Green Bay Packers were in there. And one other NFL game that I can't remember at the moment. $80 returned like $660. It was like the first bet I'd ever made. And so I guess to tie it all together, man, beginner's luck, like I hit that first three in fifth grade. And then I kept shooting them. Miss, miss, miss. But, you know, at least for me when I was a kid, it's like kind of that delusional optimism. You know what I mean? I kept shooting. And finally, my coach, old Coach Vires, he hollers at me from the bench. He says, "Clark, no more threes." And I was like, "Come on, man. I'm just getting started, bro. Come on, dog." But yeah, man, Kamala Harris was paying all these damn celebrities to endorse her. You think there's obviously a hint of bias in what I'm talking about here. You guys could look at me and listen to me talk and probably guess how I feel on it. Normally, I try to stay away from politics, but as a politician, you're really, okay, policies are important. The way you interact with the American people is important. Those are obvious statements. But in regards to endorsements, like, do you think Trump paid Elon Musk, the richest guy in the world, a dime? Do you think Trump paid Joe Rogan, who is probably set for 5 to 10 generations, a dime? Tulsi Gabbard, RFK. Like, we're not talking about like girl boss, CEO, twerk your ass on stage, run away with $5 million. No, we're talking about people on the side of Trump endorsements. We're talking about people that have built careers on making reasonable claims, implementable policies that benefit the American people and not pharma or fucking the FDA or P. Diddy. You know what I'm saying? She's paying these folks all this money for these endorsements. Kamala Harris has paid all these folks all this money for these endorsements because she didn't have confidence in her own merit coming in and throughout this campaign. Damn, bro. We just went a little deep on that. I mean, you come in as the Democratic nominee for the presidential spot. You raise way more money than Trump did. I think it was almost double the amount Kamala Harris raised versus Trump. Trump comes out with money left over. And I'm seeing all this on X, by the way. So it's like, if somebody's watching this or listening to this and has the facts to tell me I'm wrong, please comment on this damn video. Like also, if you fuck with what I'm saying, and hit the subscribe button. It takes half a second. But anyways, Trump comes out of his campaign allegedly with a surplus, raised maybe half the money Kamala Harris did. And you're telling me on a Democratic ticket that, like, you're going to fix the American economy? You're really earnestly telling the American public that? It just doesn't make sense. And I'm probably kicking someone while they're down. I'm probably kicking, certain people that believe a certain way while they're down. But it's just the fact of the matter. You know what I mean? Okay. So that's kind of what's been going on. Stuff that's been heavy on my heart. Let's take a look at the Twitter bookmarks here. Let's see if I can get the the Chromecast to work. We're trying this for the first time. I ain't got my producer with me, so bear with me. Okay. There we go. Okay. Here's the first clip. This is the play that won Pittsburgh the game right here. Got him to jump. Got the rookie to jump. Johnny Newton. He knew he messed up. Kids had a great season. But look at this reaction from everybody. I'm going to play it again. Look at this reaction from everybody. Okay, they do a freeze count. It's fourth and short. Game's on the line. You jump. Look at the offensive line. Look at everybody's reaction. 66. Bruh, I mean, I knew this was going to be a great game. I turned this game on. My girlfriend, she said, look at those nasty colors. I kind of like the damn color schemes. You got the yellows. You got the, I guess the Commanders got the cardinal red, ketchup, whatever. But, you know, every team has a freeze count in line for situations like this. Third and four, fourth and three. I think it was fourth and three on this play. And probably 8 times, 9 times out of 10, like freeze count, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna phase him. But you got a rookie in here that jumps, Johnny Newton out of Illinois. He's had a great season. Everybody was consoling him off to the side after this play. You probably don't get a freeze count 9 times out of 10 in a real football game. But when you do, that's the reaction. Because you're like, it worked! It finally worked! And in this case, it's not just, you know, a series in the middle of the game. It is the game sealing play that you get a damn freeze count. You know what I mean? So that all 22 camera angle is pretty solid, because you can see, you know, everybody after the play. Let's see what we got next. Oh, this one's good. Jim Harbaugh got mad at himself for dropping passes in warmups here. He's like, shit, damn it. This is a one-man damn production right now. Coming out good. It's been a good, Justin.
Wow. Coming out clean, huh?
Look at
this. Damn it! Damn it! Balls are coming out good. I suck today.
No, you're good. We're good.
My bad. Balls are coming out.
Justin Herbert. Man, Bengals got the Chargers coming up on Sunday Night Football, and it seems like a battle of two quarterbacks that maybe are with organizations that are hindering them. I think I got some dirt on the Bengals here in my bookmarks that we might be able to cover, but it's just, it's like, it's one of those things where these guys have so much talent. These guys have so much talent. Now, the Chargers have a winning record this year. The Chargers are one of those sneaky, good teams. They got a great back in J.K. Dobbins. They got, honestly, bro, I don't know if I can name a Chargers receiver right now. I really don't. Anybody that's viewing this can verbally lash me for that. I really don't know if I can think. Oh, I mean, there's Ladd McConkey. That's who I think about. Yeah, I can't name a single other Chargers receiver other than Ladd McConkey. I'm sure if I pulled the Google machine up that maybe we can get some answers. Chargers. Oh, they got that kid out of TCU, Quentin something. Yeah, Ladd McConkey's the first guy to come up when you Google Chargers receivers. They got some sneaky. Yeah, Quentin Johnston. I remember I watched that guy play. So I had a cousin, a second cousin. He's much older than me. Lives in Houston. Works in the private equity business. Damn, I gotta probably hit him up. It's been a minute since I've talked to him. Oh no. Come on, man. I'm up against the damn wall here, baby. So we got a new studio layout, if you guys didn't notice. We moved it to the room. My brother actually moved into the house here. So his room became a studio. The third bedroom, second bedroom, I guess, became where we're sitting now. So figuring that out. Okay, at receiver, you got Jerry Rice's son, Brendan, for the Chargers. Okay, DJ Chark, who played, yeah, I mean, Josh Palmer. Okay, that, you know, they got some guys. Maybe I'm a non-ball knower for not remembering that. But anyways, I would love to play for Jim Harbaugh. He'd be a cool guy to play for. John Gruden would be at the top of the list, though, obviously. Okay, what else do we got? Thought I lost his book and had not revisited it in years. It hits hard. Let's see. I don't want a lot of good investments. I want a few outstanding ones. He focuses his attention on a narrow range of enterprises and is unwilling even to consider most companies. He wants, above all, not to try to be a jack of all trades and master of none. I think this is interesting because when it comes to investing, you're not going to be able to understand every single industry deeply. You're not going to be able to therefore understand every business or business model distinctly. You got to stick to something that's simple to you. If you have interest in, obviously, learning more about investing, and again, this is an unfiltered look at like my Twitter bookmarks. Okay. I scroll X through the week and I bookmark something. I think it'd be interesting to put on the show. And I was like, damn, we got the show graphic back behind us. Chromecasting. And so I was like, damn, maybe I could we got a new studio space. Maybe we can show it on here. Long story short. So there's this book and it's called You Can Be a Stock Market Genius, I believe is what it's called. I can't even remember who wrote it, but I know Bill Ackman, who also endorsed Trump, recommends it to anybody that works for him. So I started reading it. I've been doing this thing. I've been consuming more books than I ever have in my life. And the reason for that is because I got an Audible subscription on Amazon, you know, the audiobooks. So you get a new credit a month. And I've been stacking up credits because, like, I hadn't been reading enough. And so you grab whatever book you're interested in reading. You grab the audiobook. And then I got a Kindle Unlimited subscription because I thought, hey, what if I didn't have to wait a day or 2 days to get my hands on a book. It's nice reading a hard copy, but what if I found a book I wanted to read and could just like start reading it right now? So I got a Kindle Unlimited subscription. And there are some titles in there, like there's a Tim Ferriss book that I'm revisiting that I was able to get on Kindle Unlimited for free. And there are titles like that, you know, like Mark Manson's Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I still need to read that. You know, kind of like New York Times, I don't want to say highly commercialized, but like very popular books like that. You can grab it on Kindle Unlimited. And even if it's not included in the subscription, I'm really going down a rabbit hole here. Bear with me. I'm going to tie it all together. Even a lot of these books, especially if they're old, a lot of them, they're not a part of Kindle Unlimited, but they are only like 50, 58 cents. And so I grab the Kindle version. I grab the audiobook. You go in the Kindle app to read, and you can sync the audiobook with the Kindle app. You can sync Audible app and Kindle together. And so you can read at 2x speed is what I'm able to keep up with it at. You read it faster. You retain more because it's coming from two different sets of stimuli in one sitting. And since they're synced up, the text will actually highlight with each part of the audiobook. So I've been able to just drill through books. This one I haven't gotten to yet, but it's really interesting. I don't know. It might be insightful for anybody that's listening. It's definitely been like a really big deal for Dupe Dog, you know. Okay, so what's the next? I think this is all that's left in the thread. He just put a couple screen grabs of the book. Okay, and I assume he's talking about Ken Fisher. Y'all know Fisher Investments. It's like highly success, probably the most successful, commercially successful, like specialized investment advisory business. Y'all definitely see their ads on TV. It's really, at the end of the day, Fisher Investments, I'm sure they got good stuff that they put their clients in. But at the end of the day, like that company's a goddamn marketing engine. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so I'm assuming this is about Ken Fisher. Fisher offers three valuable hints for timing stock purchases. First, buy when the startup period of a substantial new plant. First, buy when the startup period of a substantial new plant, which sometimes lasts for months and includes a special sales effort for the new product involved, has depressed earnings and discouraged investors. A pilot plant. Often the news of a successful pilot plant and the decision to go full commercial scale operations will attract weak buyers, uninformed speculators who will drop out if the stock doesn't rise promptly. Fisher reminds us of an old saying that compares a pilot plant to driving at 10 miles an hour over a poor road, and a commercial plant to doing it at 100 miles an hour. The public may forget that and let itself be shaken out of the stock as month after month the engineers can't get the bugs eliminated. A pilot plant. So maybe like the launch of a new product. Anywho, I think the name of the game in investing, if you're interested in learning about it, is number one, do it. Number two, find a specific niche of the market. So it's, you got to find a specific niche in the market. So like the book I'm reading, it talks a lot about mergers and acquisitions. It talks a lot about spinoffs. So a spinoff is basically when a company decides to take a division of the company that is maybe not the direction the parent company wants to go. It might not seem as profitable. They might not be able to pay enough attention to it. And basically that spinoff, let's say you got XYZ Construction, and XYZ Construction is absolutely killing it on managing new builds for their customers, okay? But they also have an arm of their business that makes money from surveying land that's potentially to be built upon, okay? Let's say XYZ Construction says, you know what? The surveying arm of this company is not really aligned with the vision of where we want to take it. And so XYZ Construction is obviously a publicly traded company. And then they create a spinoff company for their surveying division called ABC Surveying. And ABC Surveying all of a sudden becomes a publicly traded stock. So they might work out a deal where, let's say, owners of shares of XYZ Construction are going to get one share of ABC Surveying for every 10 shares of XYZ Construction that they hold. A lot of folks that get that share of ABC Surveying are going to say, well, I bought this stock because I believe in XYZ Construction, and I don't really know what ABC Surveying is all about. I'm just going to get rid of this one share. Also, you got institutions that cannot I'm talking to big money. I'm talking to JP Morgan. I'm talking Charles Schwab. I'm talking all these big companies with infinite bankroll. They control most of the market, the big companies. So most of the time, the big companies, the Charles Schwabs, the JP Morgans, they can't buy a stock if the market capitalization is below a certain threshold. So market capitalization is a stock. You take the stock price of whatever stock you're looking at and you multiply it times the amount of shares outstanding on the market. That's the market capitalization. A lot of big institutions like JP Morgan, Charles Schwab, they cannot invest in companies below a certain market cap. So the second opportunity in spinoffs, and I'm just giving an example here. I'm not recommending anything. I'm basically trying to tie it all together and say, if you can find your niche in the stock market and really analyze it, you can do well investing. And I'm just painting a picture of an example of a niche. But basically, what's going to happen if XYZ Construction departs with ABC Surveying? It's going to be, number one, individual folks that bought in for XYZ Construction, they don't know what ABC Surveying is all about, and they get rid of the stock just without thinking about it. The second thing where you have an advantage is the big companies are saying, okay, this market cap's too low. Like, we own hundreds of thousands of shares of XYZ Construction, and we can't own ABC Surveying because the market cap's too low. They're going to unload it and not pay attention to it. And so all this ties into, and really the point of what I think Ken Fisher's saying in these pages is, you can have investing success when you find good cash flowing businesses with good prospects that are just generally depressed by the market for, like, you know, I don't want to say irrelevant reasons, but maybe less logical reasons. You know what I mean? We went down a rabbit hole with that tweet. What else do we got? Oh, this one's good. Okay, I'm going to pause it because this clip you're about to watch is a damn, it's a journey in about 53 seconds. Oil in Iraq. Remember, I used to say, keep the oil, don't go in. I'd say, don't go into Iraq. When I was a civilian, nobody did. I was like you. So nobody cares. I want to get that mosquito out of you. They'll say it's cruelty to animals. I don't know. No, it's true. They were saying the other night, the shark. They were saying, oh, shark. Want to remove all the seals
in order to save the shark. I said, wait, don't you have it the other way around? That's true. Well, I'm not a big fan of sharks either. I don't know how many boats am I going to lose. I have people calling me up saying, we want to have a fund to save the shark. It's called Save the Shark. I say, no, thank you. I have other things I can contribute to. I recognize Israel's true capital opened the American embassy. I recognize Israel and its sovereignty.
Dude.
Remember, I used to say, keep the oil, don't go in. I'd say, don't go into Iraq. But I was a civilian, nobody cared. I was like you. So nobody cares. I want to get that mosquito out of there.
I want to get that mosquito out of there, dude. Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Trump talked about this, I think, on I think he talked about it on Rogan, but I think he talked about it on Andrew Schultz's podcast first. Andrew Schultz, hell of a guy, by the way. He came to the gym a little longer than a year ago and, like, was very nice to me. Like, told him I was going to, you know, do podcasting, and he was hella encouraging. But Andrew Schultz, I think Trump, he had Trump on his podcast, and the guy talked about the weave. Trump talked about the weave and, like, how the left kind of said, like, oh, he's declining, he's all over the place. And he's like, no, I just weave. You know, it's like this damn show, right? I feel like I did a damn weave. Going from talking about Kamala donating certain amounts to celebrities all the way down to why I bought an Eminem song for my fifth grade basketball game. Talk about fifth grade basketball. And then I weaved it back. You know, weaving's hard to do, especially if you're off the marijuana, in my experience. Like, I ain't had no smoke today. It's a damn work day. Y'all get your mind out of the damn gutter. But it's hard to weave. Because you forget about stuff, and he goes off on this damn tangent talking about a mosquito in his face, goes from that to sharks, animal cruelty, and then he just weaves right back without any remorse, unapologetically just weaves it back to Israel. It's kind of fire. It's a ham skill, you know what I mean? Yeah, I wish I could play this, bro. I wish I could play this. I'd get... That video would go copyright so fast. So he takes the beat from Potato Salad and he puts it on Otis. It's really fire. It's really fire. I might put it in the description. I promise I will this time. All right. Okay. This is what I wanted to cover most today. George Pickens, it's a compilation of George Pickens being a menace. George Pickens being a menace. Damn tongue twister on the field. This is a... Nope. I ain't getting hit with copyright. It's like, what makes you feel like you can do that and, like, you're going to be cool? Like, in terms of penalizing your team, I mean. It just pissed him off and he was like, all right. Just pissed him off. I think it's that simple. Like, you know, what's the next one? I'm gonna try to not get this music to play on accident here. Come on, dog. Dude, this is crazy. This happened on Sunday. I saw this play happen in real time. He's just like, fuck making the play. Yeah. Thank you. He worked his way on top. He was like, yeah, pissed him off. He didn't feel like he could do anything else on the play, so he was just kind of like, yeah, this is the battle I'm going to try and win. What's the next deal? That was at Georgia. This fight was crazy. Actually, I think we could do sound here. There's no music. Dude, if I was a coach, I wouldn't know. If I was a coach, I wouldn't know how to feel about Pickens, because on one hand, you hurting your team, letting your emotions get the best of you like this. I mean, why would you try and at least try and take his helmet off? You know, kind of do what he did in the first clip with that Cowboys corner. Just grab the face mask, rip the helmet off, and then throw some punches. You know what I'm saying? Because then the other guy gets hurt a little bit more. You're probably looking at more of a suspension because you probably will hurt the guy a little bit more, hitting him on the chin without a face mask protecting him. But, like, it hurts. I think guys let emotions get the best of them, and it's the heat of the moment. It's competition. They're not thinking. But when you throw a punch like this and the helmet's on, that's going to hurt your right hand way more than it hurts the other guy. If it's a really good shot and the other guy's got a helmet on, you might phase him or stun him for a second. But I'm telling you, like, I've hit a guy in the face mask. I've full-blown punched a guy in the face mask before trying to poke the ball out, and it fucking hurts. It hurts horribly. So, I mean, I forget where I was going with that. If I was a coach, I would think to myself, I'd be like, okay, this guy's a competitor. This guy's a gamer. He's trying to get in the other team's head. But on the other side of it, it's like, I don't know if Pickens has the capacity to, like, the guy seems like he's got Antonio Brown levels of CTE. You know what I mean? Straight up. There hasn't been, I feel like Pittsburgh's always got that one receiver. That one receiver that's a little up here, you know. I wouldn't know how to feel about it if I was a coach. All right. Pickens from the top rope. I hope that doesn't trigger copyright. Yeah, we're trying to some new deals on the show here. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't think he meant to do that. I think he just was trying to. I think he thought that those two were going to roll farther than they did. And then he was like, oh, shit. Oh, damn it. Oh. But he ended up on the other team. He ended up on the Giants guy instead of his own teammate. So, you know, that's a good look. All right, what else? Dude, this one's just a good play by a football player. Dude, kid's got strength. He looks skinny. Guys like George Pickens, they look skinny, but then you see a play like this and you're like, oh, like this dude's got some pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially playing defense in my football career, like I would always come across a skinny, strong guy like this. And, of course, in the normal world, like George Pickens is not a skinny guy. I'm talking in football terms. But it's like, come off the line, bang. I don't know whose sideline was closest to him, but if it was a Steelers sideline and I was on it, I would have been fired up. This is a good one. I can't full screen it. It's a GIF. Yeah, y'all can't see that. Sideline tantrum. I think we covered that game like the first episode of this show in the wild card. Yeah, that was last year. As a coach, like if I were his coach, I would kind of like that. I would kind of like seeing that out of him, you know. It's a competitor. It's just a guy that wants it. That's how I would see it. Some coaches might think, oh, this guy's a head case. Let's see. End zone collapse due to an awful play. It's not that. I mean, a lot of players do that. Throw me the ball. Throw me the ball. He's not like he's not unjustified in feeling that way either. Like he's the clear, most talented. Oh my gosh! He's the clear cut, like most talented receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Throw me the ball. Again, if I'm a coach, I like it for my receiver. I like it. And I like it a lot. Look at this block. Did that on Spillane. Pull back on 39, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, pull back on 39 right there. That's your kill shot. Ends up getting decked, boy. That's crazy. I think there's another one in here. So maybe it's the next one. It's like a stiff arm like that. Yes. I love it. Look at this. Look at this, dude. He jumps into it. Jumps into it. Oh, this is not the first time he did that. Damn, dude. It's loud. Look at this. Bang. That's got to feel really good. You know what I'm saying? Blocking someone like that. That's got to feel really good. Oh, look at this. They're the same person. Insert Pam from The Office. They're the same person. All right, that's that thread. What else we got? Let's see. Oh, this play. He popped right back up too, man. Clean shot, dude. That's a damn linebacker's wet dream right there, is what that is. Right there. Clean edge. Bang. I'm telling you, bro. I used to have dreams about being 56 when I was playing. And when it happens in real life and you're clean and you're like, it's a split second, but you're like, this is too good to be true. Someone's got to chip me. Someone's got to chip me. And then you factor in that it's a little quarterback like Kyler Murray. It's bang. Damn, dude. It's hella satisfying. I'm glad Kyler's okay. He popped right back up. Tough little son of a gun, but I mean, damn, dude. Whew. That's a linebacker's wet dream right there. All right. Dude, we might have to punt this damn. We got a lot of stuff. Okay, so the tweet is, imagine being a German reporter reporting NFL for the first time, and you have to talk to Xavier Leggett. I had some chicken wings. Do I need a cougar?
Let me try. Okay. Do you have any food since you arrived?
I had some chicken wings. They had a little different taste to them. Like y'all use a different twang of barbecue shop. But they right here, I like them. I had some chicken wings. Do I need a cookie?
I had some chicken wings earlier. Y'all got a little twang too. You know what? If Xavier Leggett isn't on 3 million different commercials for companies this offseason, I don't know what marketing departments are doing wrong. I really don't.
Had a little different taste to them. Like y'all use a different twang of barbecue shop.
If barbecue's out, right here. Dude, he's fired, bro. They gotta do everything they can in the NFL to protect Xavier Leggett. I don't care if he doesn't have another catch for 5 years. He's good for PR. Okay? Xavier Leggett is a national treasure, and he needs to be protected at all costs. That's all I'm saying. There's some book recommendations. Cam Taylor Britt. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. I remember when I was a kid, I first started playing football, my shoulder pads looked like that, and I hated it because my body wasn't big enough to fill them out. But this guy's obviously big enough to get them filled out. He just said, give me the biggest damn shoulder pads you got so I can go out there and pop. You know what I'm saying? Give me the biggest shoulder pads you got so I can go out there and bang. That's what this guy's saying. He's probably got the cowboy collar. He's got the brace on his right arm. Probably playing hurt, but he's so gritty that he's like, I love football too much. I'm going to stomach the physical pain. You know, I'm going to still stick my hat in there and make a play for you for the sake of the team, despite my own physical pain. That's what this guy's working with. He's got the war paint on the face or on his face. Okay. He's number 44, which is a great number to be. That's what your boy was in high school. Okay. Not that it matters. Sophomore, 6'2", 230. He's a football guy. Can't put it any other way. This is an unfiltered deep dive into my bookmarks from the past week. And we're probably going to stay here for the rest of the show. I mean, I think I said we might talk about other things at the beginning of the show. We're rolling. I mean, we're 56 minutes in and we're still rolling hot. Okay. Dak Prescott, he's done for the year. Cowboys just paid him. It's safe to say, that the Cowboys organization is in a state of panic right now, because you can't tell me that with the record they got, the fact they just paid Dak Prescott a lot of money, and they're I don't know if I said something about their terrible record yet, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And again, Jerry Jones has had so much success in other areas, but I think some of his deficiencies are starting to come to light. It's probably convenient to bring his deficiencies to light when the Cowboys aren't playing well. And then you get this. It's almost like negative momentum. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the opposite of like good momentum. It's like one bad thing happens, and that kind of demoralizes everybody. They didn't have the start they wanted. And then, you know, Dak Prescott, he's out with a partially torn hamstring. Talk about oppression, man. All the minority guys are the ones that seem to get the hamstring pulls. And it's because they're faster. No, I'm just kidding. Jokes. Oh, this one's good. This was from College Game Day, LSU, Alabama. LSU got their ass beat. Got beat bad. But here's College Game Day. Oh. Did it again. Old Tigers. Dude, that's a tradition I've known about. I've never been to a game in Death Valley. But it's like, dude, you know what I like? And he did it again. Dude, he's wilding on ESPN. He's wilding. He's absolutely wilding doing that. But, dude, it's like Pat McAfee's at a place in his career where he's literally changing the culture at ESPN. Anybody else from ESPN would have got fired if they – that's game day, dude. Anybody else at ESPN's getting fired. And then he does it again. He does it again. Dude, he's wilding. Tiger, bitch. Yeah. Is there anything else? Oh, dude, this is funny. I think we're getting to the tail end of it. Oh. Man, there's so much good stuff, dude. There's so much good stuff. Well, okay, Nick Sirianni leaked the fact that Jalen Hurts was injured when he wasn't supposed to be on the injury report. So that's that one. This guy impersonated Tucker Carlson, and this is probably this is the clip of the week right here. What is going on?
Who's jacking off to this? Not me. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your family. This isn't a joke. There's naked pictures of me all over the internet. Like what you see? I hope you do. Because there's plenty more where that came from. What is going on? Who's jacking off to this? Not me. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your family.
Delivery's on point, bro. On point. I just wanted to show that. It's just hilarious. It's interesting to me when somebody's able to hit the nail on the head in talking like someone else, whether it's the delivery, the intonation, the facial expressions. There are folks out there that are so talented at doing that. Fitness cheat codes, if you want to know. Man, I'm giving y'all a window into my life right now. We do it every week, but you know, I feel like this is an unfiltered way to do it. What else? Okay. We got two left to wrap up the show. Okay. I'm going to give it to y'all. We're an hour and two. Okay. So I'm going to give y'all a clip from Colin Cowherd that gave me a lot of closure. I saw it after the Ravens game. There's Zay Flowers when I put money on him. Okay, so there's that. This gave me a lot of closure on Thursday night. Bengals lost another impossible game. Like, found the Bengals keep finding an impossible way to lose. And I think Colin Cowherd sums it up perfectly in this video. It's about 4.5 minutes. I might cut it if it gets to a certain point. But, all right, check this out.
One is how to hinder it. So let's just talk Lamar Jackson. So tonight, Lamar Jackson, a great young talent, and Joe Burrow, equally a great young talent. And one of them, Baltimore, is the guidebook on how to help raise your star quarterback. One is how to hinder it. So let's just talk Lamar Jackson. So he gets to Baltimore. He gets to sit for a while behind a veteran, a pro, Joe Flacco. They don't draft him to start day one. And very soon after, John Harbaugh signs an extension. No chaos. Veteran coach extended. They re-sign a left tackle, Ronnie Stanley. They eventually draft a center over the course of time, Tyler Lindebaum. Left tackle, center, very valuable. By the way, they eventually shift offensive coordinators as Lamar grows in the pocket as a better passer to Todd Monken, who they feel, previous coordinator was good, this guy's a bit more pass-centric, so as Lamar grows, they add Zay Flowers. And then this year, they add Derrick Henry. And they add, at the deadline, another receiver. Offense, offense, weapons, weapons. They change coordinators to a more pass-centric coordinator as Lamar has grown. They don't ask him to start. They extend the great coach. Left tackle and center, outstanding. Centers don't get drafted much in the first round. Baltimore says, yep. By the way, Kansas City did the same for Mahomes. Went and got a center. All they're doing, what can we do to make this kid flourish? Now go to Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. You wonder why he looks perpetually pissed. He inherits and has to start immediately Zach Taylor. We still don't know if he's a good coach.
True.
The offensive line, they can't get it right. It's ranked 27th this year. It was 26th last year. I think a couple years ago it was rated lower. They can't get the offensive line right.
What is going on?
This offseason they let go of Joe Mixon, who I've been saying for years is a top five running back. He's had some stuff off the field starting in college, but he's really good. And oh, by the way, they let him go, and Cincinnati now has no run game and a bad offensive line. Oh, by the way, they lose their offensive coordinator, a really sharp kid, Callahan. He goes to Tennessee. Do they comb the market? Do they get into a bidding war for Cliff Kingsbury? No, they just moved one of the guys on the staff up. Oh, by the way, they've got two really good receivers. Playing hardball with both. Higgins not going to play tonight probably, and he won't last. He'll be gone. And Ja'Marr Chase is unhappy. I mean, that's the difference between the parents being at home, the parents adding wisdom, the parents not demanding too much too soon. As the kid grows, the parents challenge, support, and hey, you're on your own. Mom and dad are going out. See you in a week. Baltimore, the entire time, what can we do to slowly grow this incredible young athlete? And Cincinnati, how can we save money? Didn't even make a play on Cliff Kingsbury. Let's just take a guy on the staff. Guy on the staff may be good, but generally in any company, it could be Nike, it could be Intel. Generally, you want a global search to get the best guy, generally.
Imagine Cincinnati had Cliff Kingsbury, dude.
JFK, one of our great presidents, once said, ask not what your quarterback can do for you. Ask what you can do for your quarterback.
That's fire.
One franchise gets it. One is trying to save money. And that said, I think tonight's really competitive.
It was.
Wouldn't be shocked if Burrow wins. But everybody keeps asking, well, why is Joe Burrow so grumpy? You would be too. Burrow's the only great quarterback in the NFL that doesn't have either an elite coach or a really stacked roster. Goff does. Herbert's roster's good. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, Jalen Hurts. I even like C.J. Stroud's roster. Joe Burrow, trying to save money in Cincinnati. That's why he has a perpetual scowl on.
Bang. I ain't even got to say nothing after that. I got some clean. Oh, I turned my mic off. There it is. Oh. Okay. Yeah, I mean, dude, that's the thing. I mean, he hit the nail on the head. The Bengals are cheap. It's hard for me to even stomach following that damn organization anymore. 4-6. Hopefully, we can turn to 180. I heard Hard Knocks is going to come in and cover the AFC North. All the teams, they're going to come in and cover all of them for the home stretch of the year. As division games start to heat up in the AFC North. So that'll be fire. Hopefully the Bengals can do a 180 and get some good, whatever you call it. Maybe it's part of the script that the Bengals start out like this and then, you know, finish the season red hot. Okay. John Calipari is maybe declining. And that's just kind of a joke, but this is the last clip we're going to show on the show today, and it's of Cal, and it says John Calipari's post-game presser was something. It was something. As you can see, I lost my place. Here we go.
Make a three. It takes me out every time I make a mistake. No, I don't. CB.
No. Yeah. No.
But there's a guy once. I'm going to start this. Give it to Jimmy. He has to come back. No, he doesn't. I have not watched that game. It's too late. I was in bed. What? Why would you do that? And as you get older, it really. So they called a timeout. So you have no questions now that I
just wait for you to stop talking.
What? Go block that ball. How about that statement?
Give it to Johnny. No, I mean, John Calipari brought me some of my greatest childhood moments, namely the 2012 National Championship won by the Kentucky Wildcats. He's got a new gig at Arkansas, and people are struggling to follow him. That's it for the show this week. I hope it turned out okay. We tried a couple new things. Make sure you like and make sure you subscribe and comment anything. If you watch this far, you're obviously a real one. Leave a comment. Let us know what we could do better, what things you want to hear us talk about. But if everything went according to plan, just like hit like and like subscribe and just kind of go on your merry way. We'll keep showing up for you. We'll keep getting better. I love y'all. We'll see you next week.